This is the difference between the WWE and Tony Khan. Bro, everything the WWE does is to make money. And good for them, bro. Sure. That's why you're in business, bro. You know, they're in it to make money.
What's going on, everybody? This is Dr. Chris Featherstone here for yet another episode of Riding with Russo. I'm here. Look at him. Look at him. Look, how long have you been working out consecutively?
Bro, tomorrow's going to be a month.
Wow.
Tomorrow's going to be 1 month every single day.
A month every single day, man. Talk about making some changes. And look, man, he's got definition now, man. He's got a pulsating. It's only pulsating though when he does the nose gimmick. That's the only way. I mean, that's what makes it pulsate. Yeah. Vince Russo, how are you, my man?
What is up, doctor? Doctor, give me the news.
Man, so the news today is we were commissioned to talk about WWE Speed, which is a concept, a new initiative from WWE, which the concept is they're going to be matches, and it's going to be exclusively on X. It's going to be a program where all the matches is going to be 3 minutes or less. So here's my question to, and there's going to be a speed championship too. So this is a whole program concepts with, it's probably going to be like lower level talent, mid to lower card talent. You know, I can see someone like an Omos or Ricochet or something like that becoming the champion. I got two questions for you, Vince, when it comes to this. One, who's going to be the speed champion and why? Like, why are they even doing this? And two, for those who are supporting this but didn't support Russo Crash TV, the hypocrisy, ladies and gentlemen. What say ye, Vince Russo?
I've got a different question for you.
Okay.
Because we're going to go down the psychology rabbit hole. Bro, even if you... This is a serious question. Because, Chris, I know I love baseball. Season started today. I got 6 fantasy baseball teams. I got the MLB package. I go from game to game to game to game to game. But, bro, there are times when I'm baseballed out and I need to like, okay, I need a little break from baseball. Okay. That happens to me throughout the season. Even if these people like are the biggest wrestling marks on the planet, is there a point where it becomes too much, or does it never become too much for these people? Because that's what the WWE is doing, bro. They're creating more and more and more and more and more and more content. They're throwing all the content out there. Even for the most obsessive WWE fan, does it ever get to a point where it's, okay, now it's too much?
It depends on if wrestling is either an exciting or a show of choice for someone to just kind of wind down on, or just an interest, or if it's an addiction. And so if it's just a simple, you know, show of choice, that's just a dopamine kick that someone wants to watch a show with the thrill and the suspense and so forth, right? Just like someone watching any type of other sport. You know, you're a baseball guy, you know, I'm a college football guy. So the allure, the suspense, the competitiveness, those things like that, or that type of people like that type of competitive type of sports and things like that. It's actually, when it comes to And again, it goes back to what I said before. It goes back to that that Colosseum type of, you know, ancient, you know, type of feel when they would have those types of competitive, you know, especially wrestling in Greco-Roman culture. And so if it's just a sport, you know, the when it comes to sports, there's a lot of things when it comes to sports. It's camaraderie, it's community, it creates a conversation. It's a community that someone's a part of. Now, when it comes to all these types of content, if someone has an addiction to wrestling because they find either identity in a pro wrestling because they're a misfit or something like that, or they're a part of the cosplay community among a bunch of other misfits, then it starts to become an issue. The only thing you're doing there is you're just feeding someone's addiction. Now, to be fair to WWE, you know, that would be the same thing as someone saying, you know, I'm a bartender. You know, the WWE is a content creator. Do you blame the bartender for the person who's drinking a bunch of beers
Only if. So I guess the question is this: are there enough people that are at the level of addiction? Bro, I'll give you a perfect example. Let's take Seinfeld, for instance. I am a big fan of the Seinfeld show, bro. I'll go to bed every night and I'll put on Netflix and I'll fall asleep to Seinfeld. Sure.
Mindless, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But bro, if all of a sudden a Jerry Seinfeld makes the announcement, okay, we're going to have a separate show now for all four characters. There's going to be the Kramer show. There's going to be the Elaine show. There's going to be the George show. There's going to be the Kramer show. And there's going to be the Jerry show. As a Seinfeld fan now, I am immediately saying, bro, that's too many shows to watch.
Yeah, but that's apples and oranges, though, because you don't find your identity in Seinfeld. The pro wrestling culture is an identity. It's a cult. Yeah, I mean, there's in many aspects, it really is. I mean, it is. It's really a culture. It's really a lot of people in this culture are misfits, man. I mean, like you've seen it. You're the one who was in the arena.
Yeah.
Look at, you know, having a standing, you know, observation all the time on Raw and programming, and you would see it, and you would see the people cosplaying, you would see all the people identifying themselves as different wrestlers and things like that. Grown man wearing makeup and garb and stuff like that. They're finding identity in this culture, and a lot of the people who they kind of look the same as far as kind of basement dwelling, you know, people, you know, unfortunately, not all, but some, and a lot of, I've interacted with hundreds of people, and a lot of them, they really do find a unhealthy addiction in the culture, not necessarily the content, but more the culture. That's the reason why you can shell out, you can release anything, but they don't care. They're just a part of the culture more than the content.
So that's what I was going to say, bro. So are you actually saying with this culture, there can never be too much?
No.
Wow, bro. Hey, man, and all the power to them, because I am just overwhelmed with how much wrestling stuff there is.
And I agree. I totally agree. But I mean, people have talked about how they watch the NXT Next Level Up or whatever it's called. Like they have, NXT has its own kind of thing too. And even getting to the point of watching that, like it's insatiable. It's every time content is released, they want that type of interaction with it because they're a part of the culture, you know.
And there's never a burnout. Never a burnout point.
Nope. Not, I mean, it's not It's not necessarily, well, I would say it's a majority nowadays. Before, when it was more of a casual, or when it was more of an entertainment, or when it was more of a variety show, in a sense, type of feel to it, the allure was the live events and people and they doing the rounds. You know, that's the reason why territories were really, really big at that time, because people would do their rounds and they would be excited for the wrestling show that would come to their town. Yeah. When television came, you have to understand what the television culture, not only is someone immersed in that culture and they're going to every convention and every autograph session, dressed in their favorite star, taking the pictures, blowing it up, hanging it up and all that stuff. But it's also the dopamine kick that comes from television consumption altogether. So if someone can't control themselves when it comes to even that, they're addicted to consuming television.
But Chris, there's another side to this, because let's face it, bro. This is the difference between the WWE and Tony Khan. Bro, everything the WWE does is to make money, and good for them, bro. Sure. That's why you're in business, bro. You know, they're in it to make money.
Yeah.
But now, bro, you're also talking about, when you talk about this fan base, you're also now talking about the financial aspect of it. Can they get to a point where they just can't afford?
Vince, I mean,
they'll find the money.
If you people will apply as a shoot, people will apply for credit cards just to swipe their way for a WrestleMania seat, Vince.
So you're basically saying it's kind of like a cocaine addict.
Yes.
I got no money. I'm piss poor, but somehow, some way, I'm getting that cocaine.
That's why unfortunately, that's why they're called a fiend. It's fiending. That's a form of, see what happens, Vince, is like dopamine is a very, very healthy source for your brain. So dopamine basically, working out, anticipating things, like anticipating positive things, that's a dopamine kick. There's a whole bunch of things that are really good, healthy dopamine kicks. Even sports watching to an extent is a good dopamine kick. There's a lot of things. Looking forward to a paycheck. There's a concept called an anticipatory reward system. All of those things are healthy dopamine kicks. There's a lot of things that someone can get for dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter and is there in your brain for motivation, pleasure, joy, excitement, all those positive things. But what happens is, I believe Yale Medicine did a study on this a little while ago, and they were talking about how when someone gets into an unhealthy dopamine consumption, the dopamine addiction is 10 times worse for that person who's craving that consumption. The craving and the addiction is 10 times worse than consuming healthy dopamine. So essentially what happens is you have a dopamine level that your brain releases. And then once you create an addiction, it's creating more dopamine that your brain wants all of that now. And your brain reaches a point of homeostasis, and it's thinking that is what you need to create balance. So your brain basically balances itself based on, it's like driving. It's like needing an alignment in your car. So if you don't do anything with a healthy car, with the car doesn't need a wheel alignment, if you let off a little bit, it's still going to drive straight, right? But with the car who needs an alignment, if you let go, it's going to veer off. But what happens is you still hold it as if it's still going straight, but it's not good. Like you need to do something about it. Yeah. And so that's how your brain works. Like it makes it work, But at the same time, it needs more. It needs fixed. It needs maintenance. You know, with a healthy, you know, intake of dopamine. But if you don't maintenance it, it's just going to get worse and worse and appear to not be as bad. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. I'm just glad I never got to that point with anything, bro. Nothing in my life was ever that addictive. Like that's why it's hard for me to comprehend. There's never been anything in my life that I've felt that way about. And that's why I ask you these questions, because I really try to understand the mindset, because I never experienced it.
Yeah, that's a blessing. I mean, because people have vices all the time, right? Yeah. But the way to get away from it, the way to help it, is one, admit it. That's where it starts. Don't deny the vice.
Yeah.
And then go through, prayer, treatments. You know, there's a bunch of things to actively work on any type of vice that you're going through. Because the thing is, if you suppress it, it's just going to come back, oftentimes in aggressive and violent ways. And so you don't want to do that. But when it comes to the culture that we see with this fan base, it's fans that are like, man, okay, I find home here. This is home. Again, I've said this before in other shows, it's a psychological phenomenon called belongingness. And so basically someone who feels like they belong in a certain culture, they're willing to do whatever it takes to feel validated, continue to feel validated in the culture, and to basically show their allegiance for the culture. That's the reason why a lot of times we have a lot of wrestling fans that are just chanting crazy things, wanting to put themselves over, willing to go the extra mile. And that's the reason why we have a lot of bloodthirsty fans and wrestlers who are all in tandem going with spot after dangerous spot after dangerous spot after dangerous spot, because it's a two-way street. It's a lot of these wrestlers having their own type of plateau when it comes to dopamine and wanting another fix and another fix and another fix. And it's the fans receiving it, you know, that wants another fix, another fix. And so both of them are unhealthily causing each other to have very perilous situations. And that's the reason why it's just not safe. Pro wrestling of 2024 psychologically is an incredibly perilous sport or sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it. It's very perilous, man. Yeah. It's dangerous. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. It sounds dangerous to me, man.
Yeah, it is, man. It is. I mean, you know, similar to your Seinfeld, similar to, you know, you being an MLB fan, me being a college football fan, there's healthy consumption.
Well, yeah, I mean, bro, there is, because here's the bottom line, bro. It's like, I know I'm normal and you know you're normal when the off season comes.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, bro, baseball season's over. Now I forget about it for the next 6 months and I'm okay with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, as a college football fan, I'm looking at people who lost their black stripes. You know, Caleb Downs has lost his stripes after six practices. Jeremiah Smith just lost his stripes after four practices, and he's the person who lost it the fastest, behind Carnell Tate with five practices. So I know all of these stats, but it's exciting. It's a good dopamine kick that I'm scrolling on Facebook and I'm checking out, you know, some articles on Ohio State football. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because the spring game
is next. But it's healthy. That's healthy.
It's healthy. Yeah. But I'm not dressing like, you know, a college, you know, in cosplay.
Yeah.
Or I'm not tweeting about, you know, trolling and tweeting about how I feel about this person, you know, on Twitter. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that this person missed the field goal. He just needs basically die tomorrow. You know what I mean? Calm down, man, pipe down. It's not that serious. And a lot of times the problem is the pro wrestling culture, they're so engulfed in this becoming their identity that they're willing to say things that are morbid. You know, I mean, because that's how they feel. It's so gut piercing that a scripted event led to how it did, that someone, it's stripping someone's identity momentarily for so much that they're willing to pose death threats. And like the Maxine Dupree thing, you know, I mean, that's a perfect example. So like seriously, because someone is taking some time, a little bit more time to get acclimated into a position she was thrown into, you have a bloodthirsty, sick culture in many cases that is willing to throw her to the wolves because of a position that she was thrown into and is still learning and growing every day. You know, that's the perfect scenario.
Bro, Lana even said when she came public with her, her and Rusev were getting divorced. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, bro. She said social media, like, and it's like, bro, this is a married couple that's separating and getting a divorce.
Right.
Like,
right.
Really?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and you will see that in the pro wrestling culture, man.
Yeah.
Because of how people are just so bloodthirsty for that type of feeling, because they have that troll culture. It's a German concept called Schadenfreude. And Schadenfreude is it means harm joy. And the concept of that is people get joy in seeing harm of others. Schadenfreude. And so basically what happens is you have so much of this pro wrestling culture that is just the king, like that is just insatiable for Schadenfreude. It's like someone who's basically, and you see it all the time nowadays, if someone is getting beat up in your street corner, oftentimes what happens is instead of being charitable and, you know, trying to break the fight up, save someone from being in danger, what do? You pull out your phone, you try to record it, you try to put it on social media and TikTok and World Star Hip Hop. Why? Because you want to get the fame for posting this fight pic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same concept when it comes to this pro wrestling culture that wants to get the fame for having a say in a very serious thing, which is divorce, man. It's a life-changing decision that people are eating from as if they're enjoying this with popcorn, man. It's insane, man.
So insane, bro.
This guy right here is Vince Russo. I'm Dr. Chris. This is Writing with Russo. Have a good night, everybody. So long.